our meetings regularly. We'll see them coming up. It's the only area in our municipality that does have an architectural integration program, so the resolutions are fairly standard. So we'll read the first one again in its entirety. Whereas the owner of the property known as Lot 6337573 of the Quebec Cadastre, located at 160 Aventure Road, has submitted an application for approval of the site plan for the construction of a detached single-family house. Whereas the site plan is as shown on the plan prepared for by Marie-Ève R. Tremblay, land surveyor, under the minutes 3718, dated February 18, 2021. Whereas the siding chosen for the house will be mainly composed of Kenexel engineered wood, colored granite gray. Whereas at its meeting held on March 17, 2021, the Urban Planning Advisory Committee examined this application in accordance with the criteria stipulated in the bylaw 605-2016 concerning site planning and architectural integration programs and recommended that the request be approved. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Isabelle Parfitt and seconded by Councillor Scott MacDonald and resolved that the above preamble is an integral part of the present resolution. And it is also resolved that Council approves in accordance with the bylaw 605-216 concerning site planning and architectural integration programs and the permit request on lot 6337573 of the Quebec Cadastre located on Aventure Road for the construction of a detached single-family house. Finally, it is resolved that the Urban Planning Department staff assigned to the issuance of permits be authorized to issue this permit under the criteria set out in this resolution and subject to the application of the urban planning bylaws. All in favor?
Four.
Again? Great. Carried unanimously. Item 8.5.
C'est un autre plan d'implantation et d'intégration architecturale pour le lot 6360602 situé au 222 chemin de l'Hôtel de Ville. Donc, est-ce que je le lis au complet celui-là ou on fait juste dire que c'est des plans qui ont été approuvés?
Oui, c'est ça, les dernières peut-être trois paragraphes, comme le préambule ici haut, puis...
Donc, la maison sera en vinyle de couleur brun cabot et la fondation sera en roche. Et considérant que lors de sa réunion du 17 mars 2021, le CCU a analysé la demande en vertu des critères de règlement relatifs au plan d'implantation et d'intégration architecturale numéro 605-2016 de la municipalité et recommande d'approuver la demande. Par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patrier et appuyé par le conseiller M. Scott MacDonald, est résolu que le préambule CO fait partie intégrante de la présente résolution. De plus, il est résolu que le conseil approuve en vertu du règlement relatif au plan d'implantation et d'intégration architecturale 605-2016 la demande des permis sur le lot 6360602 au cadastre de Québec, du Québec, situé sur le chemin de l'Hôtel de Ville pour le projet de construction de maisons unifamiliales isolées et de remises isolées selon les critères du règlement. Finalement, il est résolu que le personnel du service de l'urbanisme attitré à l'émission des permis soit autorisé à délivrer le présent permis sous les critères édictés dans la présente résolution et sous toute réserve de l'application de la réglementation de l'urbanisme.
Site planning and architectural integration program, lot 6360-6021, located at 222 Hotel de Ville Road. So, whereas its meeting held on March 17, 2021, the Urban Planning Advisory Committee analyzed the application in accordance with the criteria stipulated in bylaw 605-2016 concerning site planning and architectural integration program and recommended that the application be approved. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Isabelle Parfitt and seconded by Councillor Scott MacDonald and resolved that the above preamble is an integral part of this resolution. Furthermore, it is resolved that Council approves in accordance with bylaw 605-2016 concerning site planning and architectural integration programs, the permit application on lot 6360602 of the Quebec Cadastre, located on the Hotel de Ville Road for the construction of a detached single family house and detached shed in accordance with the criteria established in the bylaw. Finally, it is resolved that the Urban Planning Department staff responsible for the issuing permits be authorized to issue this permit under the criteria set out in this resolution, subject to the application of the Urban Planning Bylaw. All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried unanimously. I believe we may have one or two people in our public today who might be property owners and about to build. And if you are out there, welcome to the Pontiac and happy building. We'll move on to item 8.6. Pardon?
8.6, c'est un avis de motion. Avis de motion est donné par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry du district 5 de la municipalité de Pontiac à l'effet qu'il y aura adoption du premier projet de règlement, soit le numéro 1770101-2021, pour modifier le règlement de zonage numéro 17701 de la municipalité de Pontiac.
Notice of motion. Notice of motion is given by Councillor Isabelle Patry of District 5 of the municipality of Pontiac that there will be an adoption of the first draft bylaw 17701012021 to modify the zoning bylaw 17701 of the municipality of Pontiac. 8.7, c'est juste l'adoption de le projet. Ça va être mis sur notre site web pendant un mois. Et on va adopter le mois prochain. Donc, c'est pas nécessaire de tout lire. C'est juste le dépôt de le projet de la résolution. So, item 8.7 is the draft bylaw that we are depositing. It will be available for viewing on our website for a month and then come back to council next month for its adoption.
Joanne?
We have to vote on this one.
This one is a little bit different because it concerns the urbanism.
In its entirety?
Well, yes, because this is the adoption of the first draft bylaw, and we're going to have another draft bylaw. It's a process that we don't do often, but is for the urbanist zoning, we need to do a different process.
Okay, so this is not like a normal draft bylaw deposit. Okay, we'll go ahead and read it. Wet your whistle, Leslie Ann.
Adoption du premier projet de règlement numéro 1770101-2021, modifiant le règlement numéro 17701 relatif au zonage afin de modifier les usages complémentaires résidentiels et modifiant la zone limite afin de créer une zone 57 et une nouvelle grille des spécifications pour cette zone. Considérant que la municipalité de Pontiac est habilitée à modifier ses règlements d'urbanisme, considérant que ce conseil juge qu'il est nécessaire d'apporter des modifications au règlement 17701 relatif au zonage afin de modifier les usages complémentaires résidentiels afin de stimuler l'économie à la suite de la pandémie, considérant que ce conseil juge qu'il est nécessaire d'apporter des modifications au règlement numéro 17701 relatif au zonage afin de créer la zone 57 à l'intérieur de la zone 18 et de créer une nouvelle grille des spécifications afin de régulariser les usages commerciaux de cette zone, qui ont une portée locale et régionale, considérant que la modification proposée fera l'objet d'une consultation publique et est susceptible d'approbation référendaire, considérant qu'un avis de motion pour le présent projet de règlement a été donné lors de la séance du 13 avril 2021, considérant qu'une copie du projet de règlement a été remise aux membres du conseil au plus tard 2 jours ouvrables avant la séance et que tous les membres du conseil présents déclarent l'avoir lu et renoncent à sa lecture. Par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Leslie Ann Barber et appuyé par le conseiller M. Thomas Howard et résolu d'adopter le premier projet de règlement numéro 17701-2021.
First draft bylaw 177-01-01-2021, modifying the zoning bylaw 177-01. To modify the complementary residential usage and modifying the zone 18 in order to create a zone 57 and a new table of specifications for this zone. Whereas the municipality of Pontiac is authorized to modify its planning bylaws. Whereas the council decreed necessary to make changes to zoning bylaws 177-01 to modify the table of specifications in order to modify complementary residential uses to stimulate the economy. Whereas this council deems it necessary to make changes to zoning bylaw 177-01 to create Zone 57 within Zone 18 and to create a new table of specifications to regulate the commercial usage of this zone that has a local and regional reach. Whereas the proposed modifications is subjected to public consultation and is subjected to approval by way of referendum. Whereas a notice of motion for the present bylaw was given during the regular council meeting held on April 13, 2021, whereas a copy of the draft bylaw was given to council members no later than 2 judicial days before the meeting, and all council members present declare having read it or waive its reading. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Leslie Ann Barber and seconded by Councillor Thomas Howard and resolved to adopt the first draft bylaw number 177-01-01-2021. All in favor?
Four.
Against?
I'm against.
Carried unanimously.
I'm sure you all know my
reasons. Carried by majority.
Last times by email.
Okay. Item 8.8.
Item 8.8, c'est la demande de dérogation mineure afin de régulariser l'implantation du bâtiment principal et de l'escalier en marge latérale gauche pour le lot 5097-264 situé au 186 chemin Cedarvale. Considérant qu'une demande de dérogation mineure a été déposée pour le lot désigné sous le lot 5097-264 situé au 186 chemin Cedarvale afin de régulariser l'implantation du bâtiment principal à 2,9 mètres de la ligne latérale gauche du lot au lieu des 5 mètres prescrits dans la zone 1. La disposition réglementaire visant l'objet de la présente demande est l'article 4.14 du règlement de zonage 17701 et ses amendements. Considérant que la dérogation vise aussi à régulariser l'implantation de l'escalier avec perron à 2,23 mètres de la ligne latérale gauche, alors que la norme réglementaire est de 1,6 mètres pour la zone 1, la disposition réglementaire visant l'objet de la présente dérogation est l'article 4.47 du règlement de zonage numéro 17701 et ses amendements. Considérant que le comité consultatif en urbanisme a analysé la présente demande de dérogation le 26 novembre 2020 et recommande au conseil de refuser la demande de dérogation mineure sur le lot 5097-264 au 186 chemin Cedarvale pour permettre l'implantation du bâtiment principal à 2,90 mètres de la ligne latérale gauche et à 1,9 mètres pour l'escalier. Considérant que les travaux d'agrandissement du bâtiment principal auraient pu être faits en respectant les normes réglementaires, considérant que l'ajout d'un perron dans la marge latérale gauche ajoute une dérogation mineure, considérant que l'agrandissement et l'escalier avec perron ont été faits sans permis de construction, considérant que le refus de la dérogation mineure engendrerait la démolition d'une portion de l'agrandissement du bâtiment principal pour rendre conforme le bâtiment principal, considérant que la présence d'une haie mature le long de la ligne latérale atténue l'effet dans le voisinage. Par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry et appuyé par le conseiller M. Thomas Howard et résolu que le conseil approuve la dérogation mineure pour permettre de régulariser l'implantation du bâtiment principal à 2,9 mètres de la ligne latérale gauche au lieu des 5 mètres dans la zone 1, conditionnellement à ce que la porte et l'escalier perron ne soient plus dans la marge latérale gauche. De plus, il est résolu que le conseil refuse la demande de dérogation mineure pour l'escalier avec perron situé à 1,6 mètres de la ligne latérale gauche, alors que la norme est de 2,5 mètres pour la zone 1.
Application for a minor variance to regularize the location of the main building and the staircase on the left side setback, lot 5097264, located at 186 Cedarvale Road. Whereas an application for a minor variance was submitted for the lot designated as lot 5097264, located at 186 Cedarvale Road, to regularize the location of the main building at 2.90 meters from the left lateral line of the lot instead of the 5 meters prescribed in Zone 1. The regulatory provisions concerning the object of this request is section 4.1.4 of the zoning bylaw 177-01 and its amendments. Whereas this minor variance is also to regularize the location of the staircase with a stoop at 2.23 meters from the left lateral line, whereas the regulatory standard is 1.60 meters from zone one. The regulatory provisions concerning the object of this variance is section 4.4.7 of the zoning bylaw 177-01 and its amendments. Whereas the Planning Advisory Committee has analyzed the application for variance on November 26, 2020 and recommends that the council refuses the application for a minor variance of lot 5097264 at 186 Cedarvale Road to allow a 2.90 meter distance between the main building and the left lateral line and a 1.9 meter distance between the stairs. Whereas the extension to the main building could have been carried out in compliance with the regulations, whereas the addition of the stoop at the left side setback adds a minor variance, whereas the extension and staircase with stoop were built without a building permit, whereas the refusal of this minor variance would require the demolition of a portion of the extension to make the main building compliant, whereas the presence of the mature hedge along the sideline mitigates the effect of the neighborhood. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Isabelle Parpi and seconded by Councillor Thomas Howard and resolved that Council approves the minor variance allowing the regularization of the main instead of the 5 meters in zone one, provided that the door and the staircase are no longer in the left side setback. It is also resolved that Council refuses to the request for a minor variance for the staircase located at 1.60 meters from the left side line, whereas the norm is 2.5 meters for zone one. Questions? In favor?
Four.
All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried unanimously. Item 8.9.
Item 8.9, c'est la désignation de fonctionnaires responsables pour l'application du règlement des nuisances et du règlement sur les animaux. Considérant que le Code municipal du Québec donne au conseil municipal le pouvoir de nommer les officiers en vertu de l'article 165, considérant qu'il serait opportun de nommer des officiers supplémentaires afin de renforcer l'application et le respect des règlements 2013 et le 21RM02, considérant que le directeur des infrastructures et des travaux publics et le chef de division doivent se rendre sur le terrain dans le cadre de leur travail et qu'ils sont en mesure de faire des constats, considérant que leur personnel est également amené à effectuer des constats dans le cadre de leurs fonctions, par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Leslie-Anne Barber et appuyé par la conseillère Mme Isabelle Patry et résolu de nommer directeur du service des travaux publics ainsi que le chef de division des travaux publics à titre de fonctionnaire responsable de l'application du règlement 2013 et ses amendements concernant les nuisances, ainsi que le règlement 21RM02 et ses amendements concernant les animaux lorsque les infractions sont commises sur les terrains publics. Cela n'exclut pas les autres tâches liées à leurs fonctions. I think Joanne
Bunker. Officers in charge of, for instance, the animal bylaws. Where Code of Quebec gives the power to I'll turn my video off. Can you hear me?
It's in and out. We can hear you now.
Off? Okay, I'll try it. If I bug out, will you pick up the thread?
Yep.
Am I bugging out now? Okay. I'll start again. Appointment of officers in charge of enforcing the nuisance and animal bylaws. Whereas the Municipal Code of Quebec gives the power to the Municipal Council to appoint officers under Section 165. Whereas it would be appropriate to appoint additional officers to strengthen the application and enforcement of bylaws number 20-13 and 21-RM-02. whereas the Director of Infrastructures and Public Works and the Division Chief must go out in the field as part of their work and are enabled to issue unable. I think, is that right, Pierre? It should read unable to issue statements.
Yes, exactly. They are
whereas able. Their staff is also required to issue statements as part of their duties. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Leslie Ann Barber and seconded by Councillor Isabelle Papri and resolved to appoint the Director of Infrastructures and Public Works and the Division Chief of Public Works as officers in charge of enforcing the nuisance bylaw number 20-13 and its amendments, as well as the animal bylaw number 21-RM-02 and its amendments, when the offences are committed on public properties. This does not exclude other duties related to their functions. All in favour?
Question, Joanna? Ran out of question?
Go ahead, Scott.
When we refer to enforcing nuisance, what do you mean by nuisance animals? Are you talking about dogs barking or...
No, we're talking about applying the bylaw. So all of that is in the bylaw, our nuisance bylaw. And so any infractions on public property.
Okay. When it's concerning dogs or cats, do we still not have a contract with the SPCA?
We do, but municipalities are also responsible under the new laws with the aggressive animals in Quebec. And so we need to apply fines to people. But yes,
in the past,
but for any nuisances, whether it be animals or nuisance.
In the past, we always directed it.
I'll give you an example.
SPCA. That was the common practice before.
Yes, well, they still do, but there might be a situation where if it's on public land and there is a problem with a nuisance animal, Public Works will have the authority to do it. It doesn't mean that they will be doing that full time. It just means that they now have the authority to be able to issue fines where people are in breach of our nuisance bylaw. I'll give you an example. As you know, this winter, somebody dumped the contents of their septic system onto a municipal road in the middle of the night. The neighbors complained, police arrived, Public Works arrived because it was during the winter and it could have created dangerous driving conditions. In order to issue that person a fine, we would have had to have then got our urbanism department out there and do a full inspection when our Public Works were already there. So there's many situations, whether it be garbage on public land, where our Public Works foreman is on the site and gets to see these things happen more readily than our urbanism department. Urbanism will still continue to do all of the work they do and maintain the power to do that. But when it comes to the issuance of the nuisance bylaw, our Public Works employees are on the territory more to be able to do it. All in favor?
Four.
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 Against? Carried unanimously. Neuf point.
C'est pour la couverture d'assurance responsabilité pour la politique de reconnaissance et de soutien aux organismes communautaires. Considérant que la municipalité de Pontiac s'est dotée d'une politique de reconnaissance et de soutien aux organismes communautaires, voir la résolution 16-01-26-50. Considérant que plusieurs organismes n'ont pu faire leur levée de fonds habituelle à cause de la pandémie, considérant que la municipalité souhaite reconnaître, soutenir et encourager les efforts et l'engagement des organismes et des bénévoles sur le territoire de la municipalité de Pontiac, considérant que le gouvernement a annoncé un retour progressif du sport et des loisirs encadrés et qu'à compter du 26 mars 2021, les règles entourant la pratique sportive seront assouplies même en zone rouge, considérant que pour certains organismes, les activités reprendront sous peu, pour et que d'autres organismes attendent le feu vert du gouvernement. Par conséquent, il est proposé par la mairesse Joanne Labadie et appuyé par la conseillère Leslie Ann Barber et résolu que le conseil municipal accepte d'étendre les garanties d'assurance municipale aux organismes suivants pour une durée d'un an au coût suivant pour un total de 1 800 $. Les Blés d'or de Lustville, 175 $. L'Observatoire de Pontiac, 750 $. Le Club d'âge d'or de Couillon, 175 $. Groupe Action Jeunesse de Lustville, 175 $. parents de la municipalité de Pontiac, 05 ans, PMP 05 ans, 175 $. Cercle socio-culturel Saint-Dominique, 175 $. Et les amis du Sceau des Chats, 175 $. Il est également résolu que cette dépense soit attribuée au poste budgétaire 02-701-90-970.
Merci avec mon vidéo en quart. If I start getting bugged, tell me and I'll turn the video off. Liability insurance coverage policy of recognition and support of community organizations. Whereas the municipality of Pontiac has adopted a policy of recognition and support for community organizations, resolution 16-012650. Whereas several organizations were unable to do their usual fundraising because of the pandemic. Whereas the municipality wishes to recognize, support, and encourage the efforts and commitments of organizations and volunteers on the territory of the municipality of Pontiac. Whereas the government has announced a gradual return to supervised sports and recreation, and that as of March 26, 2021, the rules surrounding the practice of sports will be relaxed, even in red zones. Whereas for some organizations, activities will resume shortly, and other organizations are waiting for the green lights from the government. Therefore, it is moved by Mayor Joanne Labadie and seconded by Councillor Leslie Ann Barber and resolved that the Municipal Council agrees to extend municipal insurance guarantees to the following organizations for the period of 1 year at the following cost for a total of $1,800. Les Blédards de Lusqueville at $175, Pontiac Observatory at $750, the Golden Age Club of Quail at $175, the Lusqueville Youth Action Group at $175, the Parents Socio-Culturel at Saint-Dominique at $175, Parents of the Municipality of Pontiac 0-5, PMP at $175, and the Cercle des Amis de Sceaux at $175. It is also resolved that this expense be allocated to budget item number 02-701-90970. All in favor?
Question?
Yes, Nancy?
Cercle des Amis de Sceaux de Chaffaut. I didn't think anything was happening there anymore. I thought we were kind of out of it.
They're still a not-for-profit organization that still does work in that area and carry out activities and an AGM, and they're still functioning. The municipality no longer has a member of council sitting on their board of directors, but the organization is still functioning.
Okay.
All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried unanimously. 9.2.
9.2, c'est la mise en œuvre du programme de camp de jour estival 2021. Considérant que la municipalité de Pontiac, par le biais de sa politique familiale municipale, reconnaît l'importance d'œuvrer à l'épanouissement des familles, s'est engagée à poser des gestes en faveur des familles. Considérant que la politique familiale municipale prévoit dans son plan d'action le maintien du service du camp de jour estival offert aux familles de la municipalité. Considérant que la directrice des loisirs et de la vie communautaire assurera la gestion du programme du camp de jour estival en 2021. Considérant que la directrice des loisirs de la vie communautaire doit dès maintenant mettre en œuvre les étapes de planification et de réalisation du camp de jour 2021. Par conséquent, il est proposé par la conseillère Mme Leslie Ann Barber, appuyée par la conseillère Mme Susan McKay, et résolu que le conseil municipal autorise la directrice des loisirs et de la vie communautaire à disposer des montants prévus pour mettre en œuvre le programme du camp de jour 2021. Il est également résolu que le conseil municipal autorise la directrice des loisirs et de la vie communautaire à afficher les postes et amorcer le processus de recrutement pour les postes à combler, soit la coordonnatrice de camp, taux horaire 22 $ selon l'expérience pour un contrat maximal de 500 heures, animateur-animatrice en chef au taux horaire de 15 $ l'heure selon l'expérience, contrat de 360 heures maximum, animateur-animatrice de camp, 3 postes à combler au taux horaire de 14,50 $ pour un contrat maximal d'une durée de 360 heures. Accompagnateur-accompagnatrice pour enfants handicapés, 2 postes au besoin à un taux horaire de 14,50 $ contrat de 300 heures maximum. Finalement, il est résolu que le conseil municipal autorise la directrice des loisirs et de la vie communautaire à fixer les frais d'inscription au camp de jour à 125 $ par enfant par semaine. Oh, Joanne, you're on mute.
Can you go ahead and read the English one? I'm having some difficulty here.
Yes, I can do that. Implementation of the 2021 summer camp program. Whereas the municipality of Pontiac, through its municipal family policy, recognizes the importance of working for the development of families and is committed to work in favor of the families. Whereas in its action plan, the municipal family policy provides for maintaining the summer day camp service offered to families of the municipality. Whereas the recreational and community life director will ensure the management of the summer day camp program in 2021, whereas the recreational and community life director must implement right now the planning and achievement stages for the 2021 day camp. Therefore, it is moved by Councillor Leslie Ann Barber and seconded by Councillor Susan McKay and resolved that the Municipal Council authorizes recreational and community life director to use the allocated funds to start the 2021 day camp program. It is also resolved that the Municipal Council authorizes the recreational and community life director to post the job offers and start the recruitment process for the positions to be filled, which are camp coordinator at an hourly rate of $22, depending on experience, for a maximum contract of 500 hours. Camp leader at an hourly rate of $15, depending on experience, for a maximum contract duration of 360 hours. Camp animator, three positions to be filled at an hourly rate of $14.50 for a maximum contract duration of 360 hours. Accompanying person for disabled children, two positions as required for an hourly rate of $14.50 for a maximum contracts of 300 hours. Finally, it is resolved that the Municipal Council authorizes the Recreational and Community Life Director to set the registration fee at the day camp for $125 per child per week.
All I have a question.
Go ahead, Nancy.
When we're setting the day camp, like I know this is supposed to end up being at a neutral amount, like whatever we bring in, that's what it should cost us. And I'm wondering if we're, by saying at $125, if we're right or we're wrong.
You're right. The program is revenue neutral, and it always has been, especially with the grants that she's received. It's always been $125, and we've always been able to keep it revenue neutral at that price. So. Does that satisfy your question, Nancy?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? Sorry about that. I had a 911 emergency I had to deal with. I had to scoot out of that. Thank you, Leslie Ann, for taking over for me. We'll go ahead with the vote on the hiring for our day camp. All in favor?
Four.
Against? Carried unanimously. Item 10, le dépôt de documents.
10.1, c'est le dépôt du rapport relatif à la délégation d'autorisation des dépenses du 23 février au 29 mars 2021.
Tabling of the report regarding the delegation of authorization of expenses for February 23rd to March 29th, 2021.
This point 2, c'est le dépôt du procès-verbal de correction du 9 février 2021 ainsi que du procès-verbal corrigé du 9 février 2021.
Tabling of the report correcting the minutes of the February 9th, 2021 and of the corrected minutes of February 9th, 2021. And that is the end of our meeting with regards to resolutions for business matters. We'll open the floor back up to the public question period. Any questions from the public? For those of you who stayed, it is 9:40. I think this is the longest public meeting we've ever had.
Zoe's hand is up.
Yeah, it takes a lot longer by Zoom. I tell you, it's a challenge. But thank you all for sticking in. Do we have any questions from anybody in the public? That also includes media. I see we have a couple of media members of our local media here.
Yes, I see two hands up, Joanne. The first one up was Zoe.
Okay. Yes, hello. I was hoping to get a little bit more detail on the change to bylaw 177.
Okay. That is going to be published and it'll be made available. So you'll be able to go online and look at it and examine it once it goes back onto our website now that it's been adopted. But in essence, what we're doing is we're expanding some of the complementary usages in people's homes to be able to do small micro businesses, but without doing any retail or any commercial activity in the home, but to do the biggest change, I think, would be culinary transformation, so on a small scale, so people can produce food to be able to then sell and retail or do distribution. One of the biggest problems we had in our municipality is we have people who live in residential lots and they were unable to get the public health or MAPAC permit to do any food transformation because the municipal zoning didn't allow it. And we don't have a lot of zoning that would allow it because most of our municipality is agricultural. And so we figured, especially during the pandemic and a lot of the concerns about local food and food security, that we had a number of people who wanted to do small production of different food items out of their home without doing any retail. And so we allowed for that. So we opened up the bylaws to be able to accommodate more usage.
Okay, thank you for that information. I just had one other thing. So as a citizen, I had a proposal for a business in Zone 28, and I was refused but not given information that I could ask for a zoning change.
Okay. So what I will do is ask you then to send me an email with that correspondence or to our director, and we can follow up on that. Of course, I won't have that information accessible to me tonight to be able to respond to it, but I'd be happy. We'll look at it, and we'll start an email conversation and discuss it.
Great. That's great.
Okay. I'd need a lot more details to be able to.
Of course. I'll send you an email.
But yeah, no, it'll be a pleasure, Ms. McGillivray. Thank you for
great. Thank you
for coming. And you said there was a second person with a question, Leslie Ann?
That's right. Mo is next.
Mo Laidlaw?
Hello. Yeah, I also had a question about the bylaw because it specified Zone 18, which can you tell me where that is?
This would be in, it's the Breckenridge sector, I think, essentially, right, Pierre? Or is that the one here in Lusville? Pierre, if you can join in.
The one in Lusville. Sorry, the one in Luxville, is pretty much everywhere in the in Luxville section.
So this would be the area at the, are we talking specifically the one at the end of the four-lane highway?
That's a large mm-hmm. zone. But we can see the map in the bylaw also. So the appendix, we can see the zone that is referring to.
So we will, it usually takes about 48 hours to get all the documents signed and ready to be put online, including the audio recordings of the meeting. So usually by Thursday, all of that information will be available. So you'll get to review it all online, Mo.
Okay. I had a comment about cutting grass along just once in July, because I had this argument several years running with the Ministry of Transport about the bit along where Mackay joins the 148. And it's not grass, it's docks, which grow maybe 5 or 6 feet high by the middle of June. And so I would, you know, they'd say, well, we can only cut it in the middle of July because that's what our contract is. And last year they told me that they couldn't go out and do it because then the contractor would complain and the contractor couldn't get staff because, you know, pandemic. Anyway, excuses. But to me, it made more sense if they'd cut in June and then again in July, and then those docks would not be seeding, and then maybe it would be grass after a few years if they cut it 2 or 3 times. Anyway, and then the other point, I was hoping that the brush, if they cut the brush, they might cut the buckthorn on McKay just before you get to Kawartha on the left-hand side. It's all buckthorn under the trees within the, what I'd call the road allowance. I don't know what you call it, but anyway, that was my comment. I had one more question. Oh, well, the first request to the CPTAQ seemed to be a repeat from an earlier one, because I don't know if it sort of vaguely, it rang a bell. Anyway, I believe it's somebody wants to build a house on what was the former rail line, which seems perfectly acceptable. You obviously can't grow very much except mushrooms and things on the former rail line.
Well, I know it went to the CCU, but it went back and forth a couple of times. So,
oh, okay. It just seemed to me that these things keep repeating, and I sort of couldn't make out why. Anyway, thank you.
With regards to grass cutting, I think everybody at this table in agreement, it would be, if we lived in a perfect world, we'd be mowing that grass regularly. It helps feed, you know, wild animals that we don't see coming out of tall grasses. It's a visibility. Well,
these were vehicles coming at 90 kilometers an hour.
It's a security issue, and we'd like to be able to do it more often, but of course we only have so much money as well and so many people, and we have an awful lot of roads to do. So with 340 linear kilometers of roads to cut, it takes a long time. And so you start in July and he may not finish. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think it's 2 weeks is what he had said. But we certainly have limited resources. So there you have it. Okay. Thanks, Mo. Any other questions from the floor?
None.
Then, Councillor Barber, would you like to read the last resolution in front of you?
Yes, I can do that. La levée de la séance. Il est proposé par la conseillère Madame Susan McKay et appuyé par la conseillère Madame Isabelle Patry et résolu de lever la séance à 21h49 ayant épuisé l'ordre du jour.
Closing of the meeting, it is moved by Councillor Susan McKay and seconded by Councillor Isabelle Patry and resolved to close the meeting at 21:49, having gone through the agenda. All in favor?
Oh, yes.
Four.
Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you all, everybody, for another great meeting. And thank you all to the people from the public who joined in. Bonsoir. Good evening.
Bye.
Merci.